Lord just put things on my heart, but it would be build a vision. And how many knows it's vital to have vision from the Lord, you know? And all through the Bible, you know, Daniel had dreams, they had visions and all of that. But now we're living in the new covenant now. And the Holy Spirit, when we're pursuing the Lord, he builds vision through the Word. And just like Teresa was talking about, you know, I don't serve the Lord today because of the things that he blessed me with and all of that. Because I know where we were, me and Teresa. You know, I know where we were and how we come up and you know, sacrifice serving the Lord. It's a sacrifice serving the Lord. But throughout all of it, vision was being built in me to go after him. And some of it come years later, you know. The visions, they come years later. But give me that Proverbs 29, Beth. But you've got to work on your vision. And, you know, I just went through, you know, COVID messed things up and all that stuff. And I went through business. The Lord put me in it in 1994. And, I mean, it got so chaotic, you know, that I wanted to quit. And I'm not a quitter, period. You know, I just don't quit on things. But the Lord, I began to seek the Lord and fast and pray, and God began to tell me, show me just how thoughts of what to do, you know, and I had to make some changes in all of that stuff. And sometimes, how many knows when things are chaotic, you gotta stop the chaos. If you don't, you know, God sometimes, you know, God is waiting on us just to stop the chaos. So I had to back out of the chaos and start thinking, Lord, give me your wisdom. I got your wisdom. Start thinking and inquiring of the Lord. And when I got out of the chaos, when I pulled myself out of the chaos, how many knows Jesus even went away to a quiet place? He pulled out of the chaos, you know, and got before the Lord, I believe, and spending time listening to the Holy Spirit himself. But once I did that, well, then everything started smoothing out. And then everything started turning into a blessing. And the blessings are actually rolling in now because of the pulling back and you know, stopping the chaos that was trying to steal my vision. See, things will try to steal your vision. You know, you can have vision and things can try to take the vision, like healing or whatever. It tried to do it, Teresa, you know, through that, being there a long time and all of that stuff, you know, and everything, but just staying with the Word, staying with the Lord, and not letting go of the vision. How many knows that when we're believing God, when I say vision, we're expecting God to move in something. We're expecting to be healed. We're expecting to prosper. That's vision. That's vision, and it comes by the Holy Spirit, but it comes through the Word of God in Revelation. But here he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law or the Word, happy is he. And it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. The word perish there means to cast off restraint. What that means is we hold back darkness. We hold back sickness and disease from us and poverty and lack and fear. And when we lose vision, or where there is no vision, there's no going forward. People quit going forward. They quit believing God. They quit praying. They quit fasting. You know, they lose vision. And some, you know, like me, I had no vision at all about God being a miraculous God or anything, you know. At the time when I got born again, I just knew that I needed help, you know. And you know, people would say, you know, the Lord can help you in this and that. And of course, I never believed it. But when I come to that point, when I give my heart to the Lord, right then, vision came in. I mean, I didn't know none of the Word. I didn't really know that God had a plan. I didn't know that he had a plan to bring me to where I am today, for example, you know. I didn't know that he had a plan. And he didn't really reveal all of that to me at one time. You know, there was just steps and stuff when I'm reading the Bible, you know, going to church. I mean, I'd get revelation, or listening to preaching on TV, I'd get revelation, you know. I'd get some insight on something, and it was building vision. And, you know, one time this preacher's on there, Creplo Dollar, and I was listening to him, and he said, you need a world vision. And I thought, man, world vision, what the world is she talking about? Need a world vision, you know, because I'm thinking, I'm just trying to take care of Bluntsville. You know, just trying to get the people to church in Bluntsville, you know. But my vision was too small. See, and whenever he said that, it hit me, you know, and I thought, wonder what he's talking about, world vision, you know. So I go off and ponder that. How many knows the Bible says, ponder the path of our feet, that all of our ways be established? How many knows God wants our ways to be established? How many knows that when you get vision, I mean, we're not supposed to waver in that vision. I don't care what enemy comes. I don't care what circumstance flies our way. You know, if we'll be steadfast in the vision, well, then God will bring the vision to pass. I remember it was probably, we've been here 21 years. I guess it was probably a couple of years into the church or whatever. And I'm sitting on my porch, or I might have not even been here to the church yet. But anyhow, I'm sitting on the steps and I'm thinking, man, will we ever have a prosperous life? You know, we were saved and I was happy being saved and all of that. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, is this kingdom really real? Is this things that the Bible is telling me? Because I didn't see a lot of examples at that time. I think it was basically because, you know, the word was preached like it should be, I think, under the anointing. I wasn't afraid people wouldn't get healed if I prayed for them. That's not my problem. And so some preachers would say, what if they don't get healed? And I never let that come into my thinking, you know. What if they don't get healed? That's not my issue. The Bible says we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall. I stayed with that, so I kept the vision. So you stay with the word and you keep the vision. No matter what it is, whether it's in your body, healing, or finances, you know, or young. I mean, I try to get young folk, you know, get in that word. Find out who you are, you know. You're a child of the Most High God. He's your God. He's your Father. You know, he owns the earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord. And we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Hallelujah. Just like you know, Shannon talking about, lost that job. And, I mean, well, you didn't lose vision. You could have went home. There ain't no need to even trying. Well, you don't do that. That's laying vision down, you know. Because, and there you go. You say, nope, that very same day, praise God, I'm out. Well, you're not going to let that you're facing, I'm not just talking about you, I'm making an example, not going to let what you're facing get the vision. Still the word of God, hallelujah. But it says that they perish, cast off restraint, draw back. They stop believing, and the Lord spoke this to me, and I wrote it down. They stop believing. How many knows if you stop believing, vision stops? Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now, you know, back Testament, whenever they would have dreams, it would give them vision. And that the word of the Lord would come to them, and it would give them vision. Just like he told Abraham, he said, your descendants is going to be like the stars in the sky. You know what I believe he was doing? Giving him vision. I believe he was speaking the will of God to Abraham and give Abraham vision. And you know what? Abraham, he told Abraham one time, he said, get out from amongst your kinsmen and go where I can bless you, you know. He didn't even tell him where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he's going to end up, but he obeyed the voice of the Lord and ended up really, really blessed. He's the father of faith, hallelujah, the Bible calls it. But it says he told me, they stopped believing. They stopped praying. They stopped fasting. They stopped resisting Satan. They stopped going to church. There's a lot of people should be in church today, you know. Praise God. I mean, just like I got a deal coming up, you know, going to get some manure and different things for my field over there. And they going to start on Tuesday. I'm going to have to commit to it. Go clean the houses out, get it all. Might take 2 or 3 days, whatever the case might be. So they're going to start on Tuesday. So I picked my phone up and called the guy. And I said, hey, have you got in touch with him yet? He said, they're going to clean the houses out probably Monday. I said, well, I'm just letting you know ahead of time. I won't work past 2 on Wednesday. I have church. Come on, somebody. And if they don't like it, just forget the chicken manure. Make it clear. because that's not going to steal my vision from coming to church. I'm not going to let anything stop. And I could. I call Brother Brad, call somebody, do something, you know, let somebody else preach. But that's not what the word of the Lord's told me. So therefore, unless the Lord speaks something to you, don't let anything change your vision. And you know what? The thing about it is when people are going to the house of the Lord, they're praying and fasting, I'm talking about it, it opens the door up for God to bring vision to them. They stop believing to receive. How many knows when you lay down faith or lay down vision, you stop believing to receive? Believing positions a person to receive. You know, I heard this preacher one time, somebody went up and it's about healing, and he asked him, he said, how long do I believe? And he told him, as long as it takes. In other words, don't even be concerned about a timeline. You're dead set that what God has said, but God spoke to me back there sitting on the porch. And he said, if you'll follow me, I'll bring you to the place to where you want nothing. And you know what? He did it. I mean, he absolutely brought me to a place to where, you know, I was thinking about it today. I was thinking most people, when they prosper like that, Lord, they get arrogant towards you. You know, they get to where they don't need you anymore. They can go get their refrigerator or their stove and pay cash. And, you know, we're used to, you know, you believe God, you ain't got enough gas to go to church, but you go to church and you know you're not going to make it. Come on, somebody. And didn't tell nobody, got so excited after I made up my mind, that because I knew that if I don't go to church, I'm going to miss out on something. I'm going to miss out on something I didn't have no idea. How many knows that's vision about church? And so I go that night, and it was just a blowout service, and we left, and we didn't know it till we run out of gas that we wasn't going to make it home. Well, we ran out of gas, praise God, and it was about 9:30 or so at night, thunderstorm, raining, pulled in, and it's about a mile and a half to the house. Travis, he's about 2 years old maybe or whatever. And so I bumped it. I done rocked it till done sucked all the gas out of the tank, you know. We made it farther wood, and I pump it, and I run the battery down, click, 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 you know, trying to get it in Jesus' name, crank, crank, crank. And so I told Teresa, I said, I'm going to lock the doors and don't let nobody in but me till I get back. And I'm going to run, and it was in a thunderstorm, I'm going to run and get the truck, and I'm going to come back and get you then. And I went to open the door, and all of a sudden it rose up in me to command that thing to crank. So I laid my hands on it, and I said, I command you to start in the name of Jesus. He said, it's supplied. I don't remember exactly what I said. But anyhow, I didn't hit the starter good, and it started up. And I looked at Teresa, and she looked at me, and she said, go! So I pulled it down, and I done run the battery down. I done rocked it all the way from Cleveland to Rosa, and there wasn't no more gas in there. And so we made it on home, pulled in the park, pulled in there, and we're just sitting there looking at each other, letting it run, Johnny. That's a miracle. We're sitting in a miracle. What if we hadn't went to church? We didn't have enough gas to make it. We didn't have no money, none. See what the vision did? The vision brought us right in the middle of a miracle. And you know what, praise God? I mean, I come in that evening, I went to work the next day, and borrowed some money and brought some gas home, and I poured it in there, and I had to fill the bowl. I thought I'm going to crank it first. It wouldn't start, man. It was out of gas. I believe an angel or something run that engine. Praise God. Now, I know that may be hard to believe, but not if you know the God of the Bible that rolls back the Red Sea. Hallelujah. that caused their shoes not to wear out, caused things to happen in the wilderness. Praise God. Well, you know, I'd read about that God. And then I started seeing miracle after miracle in our life, little things that we knew that was nothing but God. Me and Teresa, we knew that it's nothing but God. Just like what we went through, you know, and was about to lose our house and all of that stuff, you know. And I did waver. I lost. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to divorce her, and and put it in her name and put everything in her name so that when I go under, she won't go under with me. How many knows that's self-preservation? That's not good. See, that's not having vision. That's vision of my ability or your ability to try to take care of yourself and try to make things work out. Now, the Bible says for us to acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he'll direct our path. Well, once I finally went through that season, got straightened up, picked the vision up, praise God, and decided, bless God, he's God. Stood on one scripture in the Bible where it says, no man has left father, mother, land, brothers, and sisters for my sake in the Gospels and lost anything, but he shall gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life. Well, see, when I was letting that stuff steal my vision, I was casting off restraint. I was letting doubt and unbelief come. I wasn't restraining it anymore. I wasn't controlling my thoughts anymore. You know, bad things happen, and if you're not careful, praise God, you'll start losing vision. You'll start losing vision of being successful financially. You know, you'll start losing vision of prospering, hallelujah, of having a good life, you know. And so, give me that Joel chapter 2, Beth, I think. They stopped believing to receive healing, prosperity, strength. Hosea 12:10 said that God multiplied their visions. Hosea 12:10 says that God, did you get that one? You don't have to. Well, there it is. I have also spoken by the prophets. I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. And the Lord spoke to me when I got to that scripture right there. He said, vision does come when the prophet prophesies. He said, it still does today. He said, but the word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. The scripture says the word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, just like I spoke to them of old by the prophets, he said, now I speak to you by my Son and through the Holy Spirit. But now, when a prophet or a preacher or a minister is ministering and you get something, it's the Holy Spirit. He quickens that to you. Man don't have that ability. They don't have the ability. And man don't have the ability to go down into your heart and know where you're at and know what it'll take to get you where you're going. No man really knows that. But the Holy Spirit knows everything about us, everything about our lives, everything about what God has in store for us. Everything. He knows all the plans of the enemy. That's why it's very important to be aware of the Holy Spirit. This preached on being led by the Holy Spirit. See, whenever God brings you a word, just like he did me, and he said, if you'll serve me, if you'll follow me, he said, I'll bring you to where you lack nothing. See, now that was the Holy Spirit. He was telling me what God was saying. He was saying, if you'll follow me, if you'll follow me. Now, if I don't follow him, he can't. If we don't follow him, whatever God speaks to you, that's why, you know, if you've got anger problems, God will deal with those anger problems. I mean, he don't want you to be an angry person. He don't want you to be, you know, he don't want you to have that kind of nature. Why? Because it kills the vision of God. He don't want you to hold grudges. He don't want you upset at people, angry. He don't want me angry at people. Hallelujah. Why? Because it affects my spirit. It affects your spirit. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. He does bearing witness, praise God. But it says God multiplies their vision. How many knows God will multiply your vision? He will increase your vision. I remember one time I felt like I'd done a lot in ministry, and I mean, I've had street ministry, jail ministries, prison ministries, hospital ministries, nursing home ministries. I've been to a lot and done a lot of ministries, you know, and I really enjoyed them. The whole time I enjoyed doing those, you know, this felt like I'm being used by the Lord. I'm being used by the Lord, you know. That was a vision for me, to be used by the Lord. And I believe he wants the church to have that vision. You want to be used by the Lord. You know, you're in school, you can pray. You can be an example in school. I remember in school, I wasn't popular for being a good guy. You know, always starting trouble when I did go to school. Most time I'd jump the ditch and the bus would leave, and I'd go up in the mountains till the bus run, go back down to the bus, and act like I got off and right on home, you know. But when I was there, I caused trouble at school, you know. But I knew the ones, I thought they were, you know, just weak guys, you know. But what they was Christians. You couldn't get them mad. You couldn't offend them. They had, and you know, I remember them in there. Later on, after I got born again, and I've talked to some of them. They've served God, had the Lord in their lives all the time. Then that explained to me why they were different. That explained to me in school why they were different, praise God. You know? And but see, you can be an example even in your school, praise God. Hallelujah. Right after the Lord spoke that to me, he sent me to this scripture. He says, be glad then, you the children of Zion. Zion in there represents the church. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. Go ahead. And you shall eat in plenty. Now he's giving them vision. I mean, this is the word of the Lord coming to them, you know, and he's giving him vision. He said, plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. He hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I, the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Well, that's happened. When Jesus came, this was prophecy. This was foretelling of the coming of the Lord and the outpouring of the Spirit of God in the book of Acts chapter 1. And he said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. Well, see, at that time, his Spirit hadn't been poured out. And he poured out his Spirit, and that's how come we prophesy. That's how come we dream dreams and have visions and see visions, praise God. But he told him up there, he said, when this happens, he said, you're going to have plenty. He said, I'm going to restore things that's been took from you. Now, I remember when I read that one time, the Lord told me, he said, lay hold of what you've lost. And so I thought, I sat back and I started thinking, what have I lost? You know, see, you got to listen to the Lord. He won't just speak to you a scripture sometimes. He'll tell you dream again, you know. And so I sat back and I thought, well, what have I lost, you know? And I thought, I know what. My dad was a farmer, and we used mules, and I never did drive them, but I rode on the back of them while they was plowing, because we had to stay with our sisters and stuff. And had one named Flinker. She loved us. I mean, if you fell off of her, she'd stop. She wouldn't move till you got back on her, you know. And so. I never did have to do that, but all of my brothers and sisters did. I mean, they plowed with a team of mules. We'd get up early in the morning. I'd have to go help them feed the animals and all that stuff. And Dad had already have the mules and stuff teamed up, and they'd work from daylight, 5 o'clock in the morning, till that bus run at about 6:35. They did them. Then Dad would plow until the bus run. And then everybody would have to go back to the field. We went, and that's what we done every summer, you know. I told Damien, I said, I need to get y'all two boys over there to work. Am I going to get paid? I said, yeah, you're going to get paid. He said, how much? I said, not much. I said, but you're going to get paid. I said, I don't know. I said, probably about $7-$8 an hour. Oh, that'll be good. I work 10 hours. 10 hours. Boy, there's going to a lot get done in 10 hours. Come on, somebody. It's hot, too. 91 in 10 hours. He's thinking $80. 10 hours. Long time. Good vision. Just keep the vision. Don't lose it in the fourth hour. In the fifth hour. Don't lose vision. See, because the $80 is a good vision. Yes, sir. But in between the vision and to get the vision, there's some things takes place. You know? And that's going to happen. Hallelujah. And I'm making a point that spiritually here in our life, praise God. I praise God I kept the vision. I praise God when I came short, I repented and got back up. I praise God when I failed, I didn't stay down. I praise God that I hung in there, hallelujah. And I praise God that the best is yet to come. He said in Isaiah that he will bring the former and the latter rain together. He's gonna bring things together in this last day, praise God. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's been poured out. And you know what the Bible says? He told them over there in Acts chapter 1, I believe it is. He said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. See, and that anointing and that favor, that anointing in our life by the Holy Spirit, see, we got to renew our mind to the Word of God who's in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And you know what? If we don't lose vision and quit, we win. We are actually geared to win after we're born again. And then you know what? You know what? I mean, I used to build dune buggies and stuff like that, you know, and different things. And I was always modifying, trying to modify. I wanted to change the axle, I want a bus transmission in it. I don't want the little weak transmission. So I'd find me bus transmission. What was I doing? I was gearing it to climb. I was gearing that thing to you know, I would even gear it lower gears so that I could climb bigger hills without killing the motor. Well, see, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and it gears us. It gives us vision and gears us to go the long haul. That's why we got to have endurance. But that's why we make quality decisions. Quality decision is the decision that we make based on the Word of God. I wish that when I would have been 12 or 13 years old or that my dad and them had took me to church and got their lives right with Jesus. And man, I mean, what could I have done for Jesus? But you know what? I believe God restored it, and I believe he's restored a lot of that. But anyhow, I told the Lord, when the Lord told me, I seen that over there, and the Lord told me, he said, you can claim and get back what you've lost. And I thought, you know what? I want tractors, Lord. My daddy never did have, I went to dad one time, I loved my dad. And I was 18 years old, you know, 16, 17 years old, and I had a job. And I went to dad, I didn't have no credit or nothing. I went down by the tractor place down there, and me and my brother, we come up with this idea, you know, we get dad to co-sign with us, and we're going to buy dad a tractor. You know, now he ain't farming no more, he's on disability and all of that, but he's out there with a tiller, you know, and we're thinking, you know, going to get dad a tractor. So we go to dad, it had all the cultivating equipment with it, and he wouldn't do it because he figured we wouldn't pay, and he was probably right. He would have probably ended up, but we had intentions, man. We'll set dad up. Me and him talked about it, and I said, yeah, man, I'll pay half of it, and you pay half of it, and dad can have him a tractor over there, because we wanted him to have a tractor. Well, you know, I thought about that later on. I thought, you know what? I didn't know Jesus. I'd have believed Jesus for him a tractor, and I wouldn't have had to go with him if I knew what I knew now. And so I told the Lord, I said, I'll tell you what, Lord. I said, I just want plenty of tractors. I just believe I receive them. I ain't got no money to get no tractors, man. But I thought he said he'd restore. That gave me vision. See, the Word will bring vision to you. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, it'll cause substance in the natural. Number one, what it'll do, it'll cause you to love Jesus more. I mean, you know, if you're getting the real vision of God going on in your life, it causes you to want to please the Lord. It causes you to want to do what God wants you to do. It causes you to want to have God's will in your life. I just told the Lord today, I said, Lord, make me more like you, Lord. I'm yielding to you, Lord. Show me if I need to do things to be more like you. I want to be more like you, Lord. See, vision causes that to happen. It'll cause it to happen. Well, you know what? I've had tractors, man. I had four or five. I still got two or three, you know. Got Teresa one. All of them, all of them been a blessing to me. But you know what? I thought, I believed for those. I believed that God would make it happen. I just put it in God's hand. When I need something, God will do it. If I have need, he said he'd supply all of our needs, right? Yeah, and people will tell you, well, all your needs. I told one guy one time, I said, well, I need a pontoon to have fun on. I need one. But it kind of upset him. He said, you know what I mean, your needs. I said, well, I need one. I need to have fun. I said, don't you know what the Bible says? The Bible says he gives you all things richly to enjoy. I mean, a half a can of pinto beans is not enjoyable if you want the whole can. Just let me have the whole can. If I got two cans, treat it and get a can, not get one and have the whole can. See, we got to watch these devils. I'm not talking about people now. The Bible says we wrestle not against. He done got them thinking in that low mindset that God will just come through and just give you exactly what you need, and you don't need any. You need more than enough. You need more than enough healing. You need to be walking in divine health. You need to get your knee fixed and the rest of your body lines up. Now, she believed God that was the direction for her. Hallelujah. You know? So he was talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he told them in Acts chapter 1. That happened in Acts chapter 1. Jesus told them right before he descended, he said, go tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And you know what he's saying to people today? By his Spirit, get in a good Bible-based church. Put Jesus first place. Put him first place financially. Get in a good Bible-based church that's preaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying today. All of y'all listening out there, y'all get tired of hearing me say it, and y'all just have to show up for church. Go to church. Find you a church. If you belong to a church, get back in church. Go to church. Because, see, Jesus told them, go tarry ye in Jerusalem. Go to the upper room. Told them where to go. He's telling people, go to church. I mean, this is the missing link to a lot of vision in people's lives. They're disconnected from the body. They're disconnected from the anointing. They're disconnected from the will of God. Hallelujah. And it saddens me. It don't make me mad. It saddens me that the enemy, whatever, it might be their bodies. It might be not enough gas. It might not be. But see, there's no rodeo that I ain't done been on that bull. Everything that I hear that it's an excuse to not go to church, I've done been in that rodeo. But I made sure that bull didn't make me gun shy. I made sure that fight didn't wear me down. I made sure that fight, I kept the vision. Just like I came to church, you know, just I believe it was the next Sunday after I got out of open heart surgery and come home. You know, I'm sitting there and I know what the enemy's trying to do to me. I'm thinking, man, I'm never gonna be the same again. See, that was the thing trying to steal my vision at that time. Whatever yours is that thing that's trying to steal your vision at the time that you're in. And so I told Teresa, I said, get my clothes, I'm going to church. I come to church. I didn't know I barely could make it to church. I didn't know that I was going to have to make it to the back pew and stop. I didn't know that I was that weak. See, the Bible says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him when he's broke, will sustain him when he's sick. It'll keep you up, man. It'll keep you going forward. It'll cause you to conquer. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to say that I serve the Lord Jesus. Call me whatever you want to. Call me blessed, because that's the truth. People call you a lot or whatever. I mean, you know, they say Scotty brags on his money. I don't have no money. It belongs to the Lord. If he tells me to give everything I've saved away, I worked. I put that up. I saved that by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And don't get mad at you or me because we save money and we got money when we get older. Right? We're supposed to prosper. People say Scotty bragged on that money. He's bragged. No, I don't. I brag on Jesus. I didn't have no money when he saved me. I didn't have nothing but a broken life when he saved me. But I had dreams that I was working, trying to get a good fishing rod. Now I got a bunch of fishing rods. I give fishing rods away, man. Give tackle boxes away. Boats away. Hallelujah. You know, I've always thought, well, I have fun. I mean, we're riding the other day and, you know, riding four-wheelers. And I got that four-wheeler, got Aiden one, got that other one, got it running. Good little four-wheeler so far, you know. And I'm sitting over there and I'm thinking, I ought to give it to somebody around here that ain't got one, you know, man. Well, that's just my heart. I'm having fun with it, so why can't I give it to somebody? Let them have a little fun. Hallelujah. You know, and then I looked on the inside and I didn't feel like it was the Lord. Well, the very next day, Tuesday, the kids come over, and they want to ride four-wheelers. Now, Papa's got one. I'm getting right up there and following them. Grandma went and made them a big trail, and I got on that little four-wheeler, and we rode till Aubrey got wore out, and then she gives to Grandma's, and then Aiden, he can't use his thumb. He wears it out, then he uses the palm of his hand. Boy, he grips that and pushes it, and he'll just go and go and go. He was going up through there, and I cut him off and went, stopped there in front of him behind the tree. He got up there, and I went, boo! He said, I saw you, Paw. I said, okay. So I let him go on ahead. Well, see, I'm having fun with that thing. Did I need it? No, I didn't need it. I got all kinds of stuff to ride. But you know what? I'm going to enjoy that thing, praise God, hallelujah. I'm going to enjoy it. That's going to be memories with them grandkids. That they'll remember, praise God, all because of Jesus. See, now some people get mad. Scotty bragging about his four-wheeler. Well, you'd get a bunch of them, somebody give them to you. And you wouldn't gripe about it at all. Not if it's coming to you. But long as somebody else, you got to watch them kind of people. Don't let them make you feel guilty because you're blessed, hallelujah. That'll cause you to lose vision. That'll cause you not to believe God to get further than where you are right now, hallelujah. That'll cause you to start backing off on the promises of God when the Bible says the promises of God are in him. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. I started to tell Teresa today, why didn't you go ahead and get the microwave and the dishwasher while you was there? Praise God. Hallelujah. We've been without a refrigerator. Absolutely. And I've gave refrigerators away. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. That gives me vision. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Hallelujah. The Bible says over there, for us to be, that he loves a cheerful giver. It tells us that we decide the harvest. He that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. I was thinking about it today. The Lord told me one time with people that was working for me, you know, and I was helping them out, get their license, you know. I felt like this is my call right here, man, you know. It was costing money, you know, but God was bringing it in. And so everybody that come to me didn't have license and wanted a job and didn't want to work and drug dealers after them. I went and paid the drug dealer off one time to keep him from killing one of them. I went and found the drug dealer. Well, I knew the drug dealer. I'd bought from the dude before, you know. And so anyways, I went and paid him off. Well, I mean, I felt like, man, I just took Goliath and took his head off. But God, that's what I felt like at that time. I felt like God's put me in a position of power with money. He's put me in a position of power with money. And so, you know, all of them he sent, and I'm going down the road one day, And I was thinking, God, it feels good to help these people up that won't help, that want to change, you know, it feels good. Now, there's a lot of them, when if you've got stuff or got money, when the Lord bless you, they just want what you got. They just want what you got, and they're not willing to step up to the plate and do any batting, you know. Those kind of people kind of turn me off real fast. I think they turn the Lord off real fast. They're called suckers. I'm about to do a sermon, suckers. Leeches, they're like leeches. But anyways, praise God. The Lord wants us to keep vision and move forward. But you know, I was telling the Lord, I was going down the road, and I was telling the Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to help people, Lord. And I would try to win them to the Lord. You know, I'd tell them, Jesus is the only reason that I'm able to help you. Jesus. Most of them knew my life, you know, and they knew. They knew. I didn't really have to tell them, you know. Jesus is the only reason. I would come to work, and we'd all pray before we leave. We'd pray it. All these trucks, I would bless them, and I would say, Lord, I thank you for your protection over them today, God. Thank you, Lord, that these jobs will go wonderful today because of your anointing in our lives, Lord. They heard this every morning before they took off and went out, you know. And then at church time, I made sure that none of them worked past 4 o'clock on Wednesday. They're going to date. What, nothing, whether they ever went to church, they'd say, well, we're not going to church anyhow. And I tell them, it's not going to be my fault. I would let them off and make sure I'd shut the jobs down. If they wasn't finished on Wednesday, shut them down. Bring that truck in, we'll finish tomorrow. And you know, but I felt like that was my service to the Lord, to make sure that they had the choice to make towards him. And I'm going down the road, you know, and I'm telling the Lord that. I'm telling the Lord. See, and I'm telling you this because that's you. I don't even know what I'm really doing at that time other than I'm just, you know, these opportunities are coming up and I'm willing, you know, to do it. That's all you got to be. But I had vision, you know, that my life can make an impact in somebody else's life for the better, you know. But anyways, the Lord spoke to me. He said, tomorrow... He said, they're being blessed, he said, because of your anointing. And he reminded me of Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah tried to get Elijah, he was following Elijah. And Elijah tried to get him to stop following him. He said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. he had already knew, if you see me when I sin. So he wasn't going to quit going to church, so to speak. I'm a pastor, man. Got to get everybody to church. If I can get you in here, I can feed you, man. If I can get you in here, pray God, and you get plugged in, things will start happening good in your life. Praise God. Well, I can believe Jesus at home. Well, has it been working? Well, think back. Y'all by Facebook that ain't in church tonight, think back. Has it been working? You're believing Jesus at home. Has it been working? And y'all all, if you ever want to go get lazy, just think about the sermons I've been preaching. Don't ever get unplugged. And so I went to them, and I told them. I said, guys, I said, the Lord told me something. I said, as long as y'all are linked to me, y'all gonna be blessed. I said, but if you ever unplug without the Lord, without you know the Lord wants you to do it, you won't. Well, all of them did unplug later on. They fell back, lost their license, never lost their houses, different things. You know, and a guy told me one time, he said, well, who do you think you are telling them that? Like you was keeping them. I said, no, I told them because of the anointing on me, because of Jesus in my life. I feel like I'm blessed when I'm linked to y'all because y'all are anointed of the Lord. Y'all got vision from the Lord. And together, there's nothing we can't do that Jesus has told us to do when we're corporate and believing God and got vision and passed ourselves. Had a $900 lot bill one time here, first in the first lot bill we had, we was back there, and it was $54.17. You know what Isaiah 54:17 says? no weapons formed against you will prosper. See, when you walk through that door right yonder, you're walking on the Word. We had concrete floors back there. We may strip it up sometime and clean it up and just slick it over where you can see the Scriptures. And so we're fixing to get carpet, and I hated to cover the Word up. I hated. So I told everybody, everybody get your favorite Scriptures now. So our favorite Scriptures are wrote all on that floor under that carpet back there. See, I realized that we made it by the Word to where we is at. And I realized that I'm not going to get rid of that Word back there, praise God. We just going to cover it up for the carpet so we can look good. That's okay. But see, that Word carried on in our hearts. In here, in this vision, I come in here, and I'm telling you this stuff for a reason. I come in here when God wanted us to move on back, and I put a bucket right here. And this was a big project. I mean, we needed a lot of money. And I've never borrowed no money. I can, and I could have got us in debt, you know, and to finish the church. And I'd sit right here, and this floor was all out, no ceiling, nothing, just old run-down building, you know. And I'd sit there till I nearly got discouraged, and I'd get up, and I'd get out. And I'd say, it's not going to steal my vision. I'm not going to see. See, sometimes you got to put up with the frustration that's in between the vision and completion of the vision. See, you can't get frustrated in the run. You're running a race, you know. Run it to win. Even if things that looks like setbacks, don't let it steal your vision. And you know what? I'd get out. But before you know it, I could sit on that bucket, Johnny. But God, I'd go out of here and I'd fast and I'd pray and I'd say, this vision's bigger than me, God, and I'm giving this vision to you. That's what you got to do when things are bigger than you, when your marriage, when you need healed, when you don't know what plans, you know, is out in front of you. I mean, if you look at the what's going on in the world right now, a lot of people hear it right now, what's the use of trying? We've not got an administration that's going to do anything. Gas is just going to go higher, and things are going to get worse and worse and worse. They're looking at the things. I'm talking about Christians. The Bible says, while we look not at the things, look not at the gas pump. I mean, I'm not dumb. I mean, I put $100 in my truck, and I run one day. I mean, I'm not dumb. I know gas is $4 and something a gallon. I know diesel's over $5 a gallon, you know. But you know what? I'm going to go over there and feed my cows, and I'm going to go over there and drive to work, and I'm going to work, and I'm not going to let none of that deter me from the vision. Well, a guy come to me when we got that big light bill, and he says, I told him about the light bill. Well, I'd go down there, Alabama Power, rip-off. They're just rip-offs is all they are. Something wrong, I'd let them come check that, blah, blah, blah. You know? And I said, nah, man. I said, praise God for that high light bill. See, we got all these units going at that time, you know. In the wintertime, this sucker gets up high in the wintertime, you know. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. I said, praise God. I said, that ain't our bill. Well, the Lord told me, he said, this is a good time for you to demonstrate that this is mine, not yours, to them. And show them that their life belongs to me if you're trusting me. Your things, your vision, your kids, their future. I mean, I was all concerned about Travis's future one time, and God said, why don't you give him to me like you did Teresa? I gave him to the Lord. I gave his teenage years to the Lord. I gave his future to the Lord, hallelujah. And I wouldn't take on the burden of it. And he couldn't get a job right now making no more money than he makes. He's in the blessing. He's in the will of God. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? It wasn't going to put my vision out for him. And so I told him just the other day, I told him, I said, we was talking about working and everything, you know. And I said, yeah, son, and we get to work together. I get to work with you. I mean, I'm the whole career. That's wonderful. I go on jobs and they say, that's your son, ain't it? Yeah, he looks just like you. I can tell he's your son. And they tell me, he's very polite to you. I said, he's never raised his voice to me. I said, you know, he's never raised his voice to me. They said, we don't see that. We see contractors out here with their sons and hurting each other's throat, cutting each other down and blah, 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 making jokes toward one another and all of that stuff, you know. And I told one guy, I said, yep, that's the Lord. I said, I've raised him in the Lord. I said, the Lord is with us. The Lord is in us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And, you know, I was telling Travis, I said, that's a blessing. That's a blessing to me. I didn't get to work with my dad. My dad passed away when I was 18 or 19 years old. You know, I didn't get to spend a lifetime with my dad like he has. He's 30 years old. Acts 20 at times. Every time he gets scratched, call mama and tell her about it. He's still a baby. I'm telling you, 30 don't mean you're a man. He gets hurt on the job. I just whip out a paper towel and the duct tape, electrical tape. That's how I bandage him up. Don't call mom here. Wrap it up. You'll be okay. I wrapped his finger up so tight one time, cut the blood off, and he turned all white. I'm gonna make sure that baby ain't gonna bleed. I'm teaching him to get strong. Give me that Habakkuk, Beth. I think it's working. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon a tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. Good thing to be inquired of the Lord if you like, Lord, and inquiring the Lord about situations and stuff. Praying about it, lifting it up to the Lord. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, didn't I tell you that back years whenever you didn't have the things that I had promised you to wait? Had a preacher to preach at. And that preacher said, you need to write them down. Write your visions down. Make it plain. And you know what? If you have a problem keeping vision, which normally I don't. I mean, I meditate on something until it's very clear in my thinking. I get it in my heart. This is what God's going to do. You know, and I do it that way. But some people need to write it down. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your rearview mirror, you know. If you're having a hard time, you know, with healing and something keeps robbing you, write it down. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Ask the Lord to heal you. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. Y'all young folk that's going to be driving, don't wait till you need a car. Get the steering wheel cover out now. Write the vision, make it plain. Put your steering wheel cover on your dresser. Don't put your trust in mom and dad. Put it on the dresser, and every time you go in there, talk to God and tell God, thank you, Lord. I know that your plan is good. And, Lord, I thank you for the car that my steering wheel cover goes on, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And I'm not going to put pressure on my parents, Lord. I'm going to believe you and however you want to bring it, Father. You need to do that, y'all young teenagers. If you're up there young and you know you're going to get married one day, start right now. Thank you, Lord, for a godly wife, a godly husband, somebody that loves you already, God. I believe I receive it in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord, because I'm not going to get hooked up and have a bad life, Lord. I want that good life that you promised me. Start on it now. Get ahead of the enemy. And then when those desires keep them coming in your heart, then when the enemy sends somebody to hook you up, it might be a test to you, but on the inside you'll be like, this is not it. This is not my Boaz. This is just not it. And then when they come in and they're ungodly, you'll be like, nope, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. That's vision. That saves a lot of trouble, praise God. But you know what? A lot of teenagers today, they have low self-esteem. They need a clique to fit in. That's not good. You need to know who you are in the Lord. You fit in. You're anointed by the Lord. He's pleased with you. You've been accepted, the Bible says, in the beloved. You are in the best clique on the planet called the body of Christ, and they're not a clique. They're warriors. The psalmist David, he said in Psalms 27, turn to there, Beth. Let's read that. 13 and 14. This is the psalmist David. I quoted a lot here. He said, I had fainted unless I kept vision. Believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's vision. I mean, he's in the middle of all of his stuff, but he wouldn't quit believing. He wouldn't lay the vision down. He wouldn't stop. And he's seen it. He's seen God's goodness. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'm going to read you what it says in the Amplified Bible in verse 14, that verse 14 right there. It says, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage. Let your heart be stout and enduring. Let your heart be stout. The Lord told me, he said, go read that in Amplified. I normally don't, but he told me to go read it. It takes on a whole lot more meaning there. It says, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. I mean, I expect to be healed. I mean, I expect this church to fill up. I expect that new building when it gets here. We done released our faith 15 years ago. Look, God, I ain't forgot about it yet. I just told the Lord the other day, I thank you, Lord, for that building. Wherever it's at, praise God. One I don't got to work on. I don't got to, you know, praise God, I'm believing God, I built one or build it. Let somebody build it. Hallelujah. Well, times are bad. No, they're not in this Bible. They're not in this Bible. If God's got a vision for a church or a somebody for a church, don't you dare quit on that vision. I don't care if... Somebody came to me, they said, hey, did you know that drug house next to the church is probably fixing to be available real cheap? I said, really? I said, well, I said, that's good news. I said, God must see that we need some more land over here in Bluntsville. Praise God. I said, I'll be asking the Lord about that. Well, I done asked him for that when it was cleared off. Mr. McCullough, about, I don't know, 10 years, he's dead now, old man McCullough, down here. Over cleaning it off. And I was telling the Lord about among that time, I was saying, God, we're going to build a parking space here real soon. Lord, these people keep coming in. We'll be all the way down to the road. I'm out there talking to the Lord. And then I come in one day, and there an old man is over on a dozer. And I thought, man, what's going on over there, man? He cleaned that whole thing off. Done grow up now, but it took all the trees. And big old lot over there joins that house right there. And I went over there and I thought, we could put a big spool in right here, Lord. And you know, we got a drive right over. I thought, well, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, if the Lord wants us to have it, we'll get that and build the church there. Tear this one down, big parking lot out here. We'll have us a big walk over there to it. I mean, I don't know. I'm a dreamer. You know, praise God. You know, I mean, you know, well, it's been 15 years and ain't a whole handful. I ain't got nothing to do with what I see. Ain't got nothing to do with it. He over there in the back said, write the vision, make it plain. He said, don't get discouraged if you have to wait on it. He said, because the vision will come and it won't wait. It won't tarry. There comes a time when that healing will manifest. There comes a time when that promise will come to pass. There comes a time as you go on, and you know what? I'm telling you right now, when we're keeping vision and going on in the Lord and enduring some hardship as a good soldier and not quitting on the Lord and all that, you're being built up. You're being built. You're gaining endurance. And then before you know it, I mean, you'll be like, man, Lord, you just can't hardly break me. And the Lord will say, it's because you've let me make you. You're making you in my image. How many knows he's not a God that backs down? He's not a God up there saying, oh, man, this world's in bad shape. Man, ain't nothing can take place down there. No, these things happening. Roe versus Wade's, I mean, you don't go back to the states. That's going to be good. We get the government's not controlling none of that anymore. Then we can vote them in that's godly in down in the states. We can get them in there, and then we ain't killing no more babies. It's been a long time in the making, but you know what? The vision will happen, praise God. It's coming down to the states now. Well, we got our governor says we don't take tax dollars and kill our babies. Well, you ain't going to have it here in Alabama. Well, what if Florida gets them and all of them down to the states? That's God reigning. We the people voting them in. He's bypassing the government. Let them fix whatever and do what they want to. God is God, and God is able to do abundantly above, greater than we can think or ask, or the government. He's the only God. When we dream and build vision, faith rises. And faith is the victory. There's been a million times I could give up on my marriage, and I just won't do it. A million times. There's been hundreds of thousands of times I could give up on ministry because it's weight. It costs me. I can't have my own way. I can't do what I want to. God's in control. I mean, he won't let me put extra burdens on people. I'll go do the work of the ministry. But you know what the Bible says? It says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God spoke that scripture to me one time, and he said, if you'll seek my kingdom, he said, I'll add everything you want to your life. He said, if you'll put me first, if you'll put my kingdom first. Now, what that meant to me is this church. That's the domain that he's given me. Put his kingdom first, you know. And things would get slack at work, you know, nothing coming in. And I'd think, okay, man, that church, that building down there is the kingdom. I'm going to work on it. I'd come down here and start working on this building. If I was on top, I took a notebook, because it happened every time. That phone would ring, ordering the door, getting the price, service, something. I mean, it's time the end of the day, I'd have a half a page or full when it hadn't rung in 3 or 4 days. And I'd be like, whoo, glory to God. Can I come work tomorrow down here, Lord? Now I go take care of what I give you today. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you when we're dreaming or building vision. You've got to build vision. You've got to sit down and dream about planting a garden if you can't physically. You got to dream about doing things that you couldn't do. Just like Sandy, she thought she was going to have to quit work. Now she got her healing. Now she don't got to quit work. And the Lord, he said he's going to bless us the latter end. Hallelujah. The older I get, the more blessed I'm going to be. Blessed going in, blessed going out. And y'all young folk, you can't see that right now. All you want's a gain, you know, or something. That's fine. Where you at? That's good. But there'll come a time when your dreams will be way bigger than a car or a Mustang or girlfriend or whatever, boyfriend. It'll be so big. It'll be like, God, you're going to have to take the wheel. God, I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, if you want me to go to Uganda, I'm going, Lord. If you want me to go to Mexico, I'm going, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Just whatever you want me to do. Don't be afraid to tell him that. Believe to come out of trouble. When trouble's around. Just like whenever that garage door stuff hit, I mean, I was so tired of that. I was so tired of that happening and me and trying to make a liar out of me and all that stuff. And not it really, people wasn't meaning to, you know. And all of that, till I mean, I thought this is going to ruin my name. This is going to ruin me. I'd rather dump it and not have nothing than have a bad reputation. I'd rather not have nothing. But you know, that wasn't the Lord. I had to start believing God to come out of that trouble. And I came out of that trouble, and thank God I didn't quit. A business started being given to me, praise God, already rolling in, giving prices on jobs. They're already locking them in. And they figured out how to do it where it wouldn't be out the old finances. I mean, it's all panning out. Walked on the job today, and it's a big door up yonder at Addison up there. I walked in there, you know, and I told the dude, he said, it's this and right here. We want this and this and this and this. I said, okay. I said, this is how it's going to be. I said, I'm going to fix you up a quote. I said, I'm going to write you a quote. I'm going to write the total. I'm going to write the down payment. And then they pay me the rest at the end. So you got to have money down. I said, that's the way it's going to be. I'm not carrying nobody no more. You want it? You don't. Well, what if you lose the job? I don't need it. If it's got the potential to cause me to put out thousands of dollars at their expense and take me under, smarter than that. Right? So I said, that's the way it's going to be. He said, well, I said, no problem. I said, okay, I'll get you an invoice to you. And I said, when I get the check in my mailbox, I'll order your product. And then as soon as your product comes in, don't know how long it'll be, but it'll be there, I'll come put that door in. Yes, sir. Walked out of there and left. We're used to it. But, oh, Jesus, I'm going to lose this job, Jesus, if I don't comply to what they want, Jesus. Don't talk to Jesus like that. He's like, man up, boy, tell them what it's going to be. If you believe you don't lose nothing I give you, that's your job, praise God, hallelujah. So I tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, for this job. I won't lose anything that you give me, Lord. And if I do lose, I didn't need it, Lord. There was something in there you saw that it was going to not benefit me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads before I preach some more. Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord.